I'm going to be speaking today about education gradients and health behaviors among Hispanic young adults. The presentation was just too long, so I'm going to focus on Hispanics today, but we've completed the paper. We have the results for Asian young adults, and I'll talk about them a little bit at the end. And in particular, we look at the influence of nativity and age at immigration on these associations. I have no relationships to disclose. Extensive research has found an association, as many of you know, between socioeconomic status, or SES, and health. And sometimes this relationship is referred to as a social gradient in health, whereby health improves with every increment in SES, or socioeconomic status. But recent research has increasingly suggested that SES may not have the same impact on health for all U.S. populations. And in particular, researchers have found more modest social gradients in health outcomes and related health behaviors for foreign-born versus U.S.-born populations. And it's not clear from previous research where these differences come from. We speculate that they may be rooted, in part, in the environment during childhood and adolescence, when health behaviors begin to form or which influence health behaviors later in life. Early life environments may differ in the U.S. versus some of our major sending countries for immigration in ways that may shape health behaviors along socioeconomic lines. So for example, there may be less acceptability of unhealthy behaviors among higher SES individuals in the U.S. versus sending countries. So I think smoking is a good example. So here in the U.S., it's heavily sanctioned among higher SES individuals, but that's not the case in some of our sending countries for immigration. And in fact, the opposite may be true at the lower end of the SES spectrum. So smoking may be more sanctioned among lower SES people in sending countries, less sanctioned in lower SES individuals in the U.S. or populations. Affordability may also be a factor, affordability of unhealthy behaviors. In sending countries for immigration, some unhealthy behaviors may be less affordable among those with lower SES, including during childhood and adolescence when some health behaviors begin to form. There may also be greater knowledge of the health impacts of unhealthy behaviors among higher SES individuals in the U.S. than in sending countries, or maybe along the spectrum, but just more resources here to act on that knowledge due to things like greater public health resources. So if differences in the relationship between SES and health behaviors for the U.S.-born versus foreign-born populations are rooted in early life environments, so during childhood and adolescence, we should see differences by where people spent their childhoods and adolescence in the U.S. versus in sending countries. But not all immigrants come to the U.S. at the same time. Some come in childhood and adolescence with their parents, and some come on their own as early as the late teens and into adulthood. So if these patterns are rooted in early life environments, then foreign-born adults who came to the U.S. when they were young, in childhood or adolescence, should begin to adopt the health behaviors of the U.S.-born with similar socioeconomic backgrounds, because the idea is that they would have more contact. If you're a lower-income immigrant, more contact with lower-income native-born individuals when you're young. So looking at differences not only by nativity, born in or outside the U.S., but also by age at immigration should help us to understand if early life environments matter in shaping the relationship between SES and health behaviors in adulthood. Age at immigration hasn't been taken into account in prior research on this particular topic. And in addition, it's also been focused on adults at older ages, or all ages. But when we're looking at health behaviors, differences in social gradients should be starting to show up by young adulthood, because most health behaviors at least tend to start, either have formed by then or are starting to form. And this should be able to help us understand patterns in health incomes in later life, if we specifically look at that period of young adulthood. So examining differences in social gradients by nativity and age at immigration may help us to understand the sources of social gradients or health disparities in health behaviors and related health outcomes in the U.S. for all populations. So if early environments matter, we should be able to understand more about that. And it may also help us to identify critical time periods and populations for intervention. So in the current study, we assessed whether the association between education and two health behaviors, smoking and leisure time physical inactivity, in Hispanic young adults differs by nativity and age of immigration during childhood and adolescence or after adolescence. We look at Hispanics because this group includes the largest immigrant population of all U.S. Racial and ethnic groups. And we look at these two health behaviors because they are considered among the top actual leading causes of death in the U.S. So our hypotheses are if early environments matter for these populations, or for these patterns, I'm sorry, education associations for smoking and leisure time physical inactivity among Hispanic young adults who immigrated during childhood and adolescence should more closely resemble those of the U.S.-born population than the associations of those who immigrated after adolescence. So to test this hypothesis, we use the National Health Interview Survey. This is, if you're not familiar with it, it's a nationally representative sample of the U.S. population. It's conducted annually. We combined surveys from 2000 to 2008 to ensure a large enough sample for these analyses and some interactions that we checked, and looked at young adults from age 18 to 30. We had, as you can see, a large sample of Hispanics, both foreign and U.S. born. Smoking was defined as current versus never or former smoking, and leisure time physical inactivity, which I'll just refer to in shorthand physical inactivity, was having no vigorous or moderate activity in the past week versus any. We defined a three-category variable for nativity and age of immigration. So the first category was being born in the U.S., second was immigrated at or before age 15, and then immigrated after age 15. And we chose age 15 as the cut point to ensure that those who were classified as immigrating in childhood or adolescence would have at least a few years of exposure to the U.S. environment before they were considered adults and were eligible for this sample. We used education in years rather than income or occupational status because it may better represent SES for individuals who do not work consistently in the paid workforce, which is particularly relevant for Hispanic immigrants. And also, it may be a better, for some of the same reasons, a better indication of the childhood socioeconomic environment. Covariates included ethnic subgroup, gender, and current age at the time of the survey. People were all adults. We didn't find any differences in the patterns I'm going to show you by ethnic subgroup or by gender. So we're not going to stratify results by either variable. So basically, we're looking at gradients, and those gradients did not differ for these subgroups or by gender, even though the mean levels do. We estimated logistic regression models for both smoking and physical inactivity. And then we interacted education with this three-category variable that I just described and generated predicted probabilities from these models. And that's what I'm going to focus on to demonstrate the relationships that were significant. Now, these predicted probabilities require evaluation at specific levels. So I'm going to show you the patterns for Mexican males, but the education gradients would be the same, as I said, for any subgroup or for males and females, because we didn't find differences there. So here are the characteristics for Hispanic young adults in the U.S. So you can see the education level, the mean level here, is in the first column are the U.S. born. And they have higher mean education levels than those who immigrated either in childhood or adolescence or after adolescence. And then you can see the breakdown here of the ethnic groups that we included, Mexican, Central Americans, Puerto Ricans, and then other or multiple Hispanics, which includes Dominicans, Cubans, and kind of other Hispanic groups. And you can see that it's dominated by Mexicans, as you can see, which you're probably aware of. Here's the prevalence of current smoking among Hispanic young adults. It's statistically significantly higher among the U.S.-born than the foreign-born. So the blue bar here is the U.S.-born. Zero. And then the yellow bar here is foreign-born. There we go. And so you can see that with what's usually classified as acculturation, there's quite a bit of increase. So smoking gets worse, which is well-known. And these categories actually look a little different, but they're not statistically significantly different. Here's leisure time physical inactivity for Hispanic young adults. So we see the opposite pattern here. So inactivity isn't quite as bad among the U.S.-born, and it's more of the foreign-born are physically inactive in leisure time. And here we do see more of a relationship here with those who immigrated after adolescence having the highest inactivity. and those who immigrated during childhood or adolescence having a little bit lower. They're starting to look a little bit more like the U.S. born there, so there may be something going on. Now, these are the predicted probabilities from our regression model. So these are fitted values, and it does assume a more linear relationship than actually exists in the data. All of the relationships I'm going to show you are statistically significantly different between the three groups. I just didn't want to take a lot of time to go through the tables. These interaction terms can be hard to interpret. But if you'd like to see the tables, I have a few copies of the paper up here. So as you can see, the probability of smoking decreases sharply with each additional year of education for Hispanic young adults who are born in the U.S. So that's the blue line here on the top. So you see a real steep inverse gradient there. That's the top line in blue. And we see the opposite pattern for immigrants who came after adolescence. So that's the green line here in the middle. So you see that with each additional year of education, you're actually seeing a slight increase in education for that group. But those who immigrated during childhood or adolescence, here, the orange line, you're starting to see that inverse gradient begin to form and looking more like the gradient for the U.S.-born population. So I think another important thing here is that you see for all three groups, there isn't a lot of difference up here for the most educated. It's getting pretty small. The bigger gaps are really among the least educated here. And that suggests that the mechanisms that are underlying these patterns, we might think about something that might be going on here at the lower end of the educational spectrum. So here's physical inactivity, and we see a similar pattern, but it is a bit different. So the U.S. born here are on the bottom in blue. So you see, again, less physical inactivity with each additional year of education. And again, we see the shallowest gradient up here for those who immigrated after adolescence. That's the green line. And then those who immigrated during childhood and adolescence, you see the line kind of falling in between, and is a little closer to the line of the U.S. born. So I think another interesting thing here, in contrast to smoking, we're seeing really similar levels of inactivity, very high among the least educated here, and you're seeing the bigger gaps here on the most educated side. So that's sort of the opposite of the pattern that we saw for smoking. So that could suggest that whatever is going on in terms of the differences between these populations, the mechanisms, it might be going on something on the higher end of the educational spectrum. So in sum, education associations for smoking and physical inactivity among Hispanic young adults immigrating in childhood or adolescence more closely resemble those of the U.S.-born than those immigrating after adolescence. So these results suggest, they support the hypothesis that developmental context in the U.S. versus sending countries may differentially shape the association between education and health behaviors in young adulthood. And different mechanisms may underlie this variation, and as I was talking about. So for smoking, it may be something going on among the lower SES. So like I said at the beginning, maybe stronger sanctions around smoking or lower affordability of cigarettes among the lower SES in sending countries than in the U.S. And you see that starting to deteriorate among those who came during childhood and adolescence. Physical activity, it could be the mechanisms operating among higher SES, so maybe more knowledge of the health risks of inactivity or stronger sanctions against inactivity here in the U.S. at the higher end of the educational spectrum in the U.S. versus sending countries. And children and adolescents may absorb these norms and knowledge, which may both influence their behaviors as they're forming at the time, or they may extend and influence those behaviors as they continue to take shape in young adulthood. So this analysis was subject to limitations, and I'm just going to go over a few of them. First, age 15 was somewhat arbitrary as a cut point for immigration during formative periods, and we used that to get the largest groups we could kind of in each category, but we found very similar patterns when we used age 12, except that I believe for smoking, the line was a little closer for the U.S.-born and those born who came in adolescence. Education quality, so for each additional year of education, you may not be getting the same quality in terms of your ability to kind of cope and to delay gratification, those kinds of things. It may not be the same thing for those who are educated in versus outside the U.S. Also, health selection associated with immigration could operate. It's a fairly complicated way of thinking about that, but there could be selection on either end of the educational spectrum. And also, I think that, but there was a recent study that suggested that there's not a lot of health selection going on, at least more recently, and these are fairly young adults associated with immigration, so that may not be a major concern. So the analysis suggests that interventions should focus on lower SES individuals who spent their early life in the U.S. for smoking, that's the U.S.-born, and those who are foreign-born but came during childhood and adolescence. They have the highest smoking prevalence. And for all lower SES individuals for physical inactivity, so there's because physical inactivity is quite high for all three groups that we talked about. It's probably a broader-based intervention would be appropriate. And there's a need for research on, of course, these mechanisms and also key developmental periods which might help with intervention. Other measures of SES besides education and then patterns at older ages and related health outcomes. This research may hold implications for when and how to intervene to address health disparities in all U.S. populations. Thank you.